Now, recalls and concerns about food safety are in the news frequently, like the warnings about romaine lettuce tainted with E. coli that have been in the media on and off since 2017. But the American food supply is much safer than it was a century ago, and that's thanks in large part to a chemist named Harvey Wiley, who led the way in food testing and product labeling. His findings in the early 20th century depended on a team of knowing volunteers as guinea pigs. John Maggio is the award-winning writer, director, and producer of a new documentary on the topic that premieres tonight on American Experience. And Deborah Blum is the author of the book that brought this story to life. It's called The Poison Squad, One Chemist's Single-Minded Crusade for Food Safety at the Turn of the 20th Century. She's also director of the Knight Science Journalism Program at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Deborah, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me on.
And John, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much. A real pleasure.
Deborah, let's start with our food landscape in the late 1800s. There were big changes going on, right?
Right. I mean, the late 1800s is really the shift from the small farm to the industrialized food supply. And so when that starts happening, you see these dramatic changes in what food is and how it's made and who decides actually what you're going to eat. It's really a fascinating and also crazy bad time for food.
And John, a lot of the stuff you show in the movie, the archival newspaper materials and things like that, over the time period you cover, this was a hot topic among the American people, wasn't it?
It really was. I mean, you know, this is the beginning. We start to see the industrialization of food. We see Nabisco, Campbell's Soup, all of these big food manufacturers coming online. And most people had sort of, you know, a lot of immigrants, a lot of people moving to the cities to work who are used to, you know, like I'm Italian American, so I know there are a lot of Italian Americans who are used to living off the land and eating farm fresh food and suddenly are being told by Protestant aid groups that, no, you should be eating this canned stuff. And I think it really, you know, had an effect on it and really did so much to shape our food pathways, you know, even to today.
Now, this was a wild west, the food processing industry. Deborah, to give a taste, let's pick a product we love here in Wisconsin, our milk. If I went back to, say, 1880, bought myself a quart of milk, what else was going to be in there apart from the milk?
Oh, you could not have picked a better example than milk. It's so crazy. So milk is watered, and with any old water, there was one case where the dairyman just like scoops stuff out of the swamp behind his house. It's recolored once it's thinned with chalk or plaster of Paris. They fake the cream sometimes, especially actually in the Midwest, by pureeing calf brains and floating a little scum of yellow on top. And, of course, because the milk rots, there's not refrigeration, there's not pasteurization, they use formaldehyde to preserve it. So it's also poisonous. You can look at newspapers across the country, and they have what they called embalmed milk scandals, where sometimes hundreds of children die in a single summer from this, you know, very special milk.
John, Deborah had been writing about this. Of course, she wrote the book on this. As you come into this project, are you amazed by what people encountered when they bought food, whether it was milk or canned meat or whatever, off the store shelf?
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, the book is so vivid in the descriptions of the things that Harvey Wiley was finding and he was testing. I mean, from honey and maple syrup that was nothing but corn syrup to coffee that was ash and charcoal and dust from the manufacturing floor, green beans that were just filled with all sorts of chemical newfangled chemical preservatives. It really was a fascinating, vivid description in her book. And behind, you know, the push behind all of this was this absolutely fascinating whistleblower, this guy, Harvey Wiley.
Right.
He just wouldn't stand for it, you know. And so for me, the richness of all of that color of the period and what was going on in food safety or what was not going on in food safety. And then this super colorful character who's on this mission had all the ingredients for a great film and an important film, I think.
Right. Harvey Wiley, Deborah, this doctor / chemist / food scientist who becomes kind of a rock star in the country, introduces to him.
Yes, he was so famous that when the 1906 Food and Drug Law finally passed, it was known nationwide as Dr. Wiley's Law. I actually think of him, John's description of whistleblower is great because he blew the whistle on the food supply, but he was also kind of a real crusader, holy roller of a chemist. He grew up in a small farm in Indiana. He believed totally that it was important that science serve good, and he took food as his cause and made it a life work in ways that transformed the country, literally.
And there was pushback, Deborah, from the food processing companies, big companies, influential companies. Can you talk about how they reacted to Harvey Wiley's work?
Oh, they hated him. For the most part, with a few exceptions, the food industry and the chemical industry hated him. Monsanto was around then. They hated him, right? Dow Chemical hated him. Campbell's Soup hated him. And so they did all kinds of things to both publicly try to destroy his reputation and privately. And this was the other thing that was so fascinating to me, this behind-the-scenes handshake between government and business at this time, and privately just to destroy his job and his reputation in the government. And in the latter, they were pretty successful.
Talking to Deborah Blum, author of the book The Poison Squad, and John Maggio, award-winning writer, director, and producer of The Poison Squad for PBS's American Experience. John, talk about, Deborah had done a lot of this work, talk about what it took to get some of the archival footage. You've got amazing photos, occasionally newsreels of prominent figures like Teddy Roosevelt. What all went into putting this documentary together with that historical material?
Yeah, it was definitely, I was surprised to see, because it's the turn of the century, so there's not a lot of newsreel footage quite yet at that point. But I was surprised at the amount of it within, for instance, the Chicago stockyards. I mean, some of that footage of the meatpacking plants is so visceral. I mean, I think anybody in the world who eats meat, may think twice about it after watching what was going on in the Chicago stockyards then. So that material I knew was fabulous. But I had to augment it, you can see in the film with some recreation that I tried to do, recreate Harvey Wiley in the laboratory, which was his warren, which was he was very comfortable in the laboratory doing experiments. And so I just wanted to make sure that people understood this was a man of science. I do call him a whistleblower. He really, as Deborah said, he was a crusader for pure food. So I wanted to sort of bring color to the film in that way, not just have it all be black and white.
And Deborah, let's meet the Poison Squad now. This amazing story that I hadn't known about until your work. Tell us what Harvey Wiley did to test borax and salicylic acid and all these other chemicals in our food supply.
Well, eventually he got so frustrated with the lack of response and his calls for actual labeling and in some food safety, that he decided to just test the additives as is on young government workers. And he recruited this group of, healthy, athletic young men in their 20s who were underpaid government clerks, and he paid them a big $5 a month, which went a lot farther in 1902, right? And he offered them 3 meals a day, 7 days a week. And the catch is that they have to take these capsules that contain the additive of the day or the one that he's studying. And so he adds in borax, he adds in salicylic acid, which was a big preservative in beer, by the way, at the time, in the U.S., not in Europe. He adds in formaldehyde, and he just looks at what happens to these guys at different levels as they're swallowing these very standard food additives that everyone in the U.S. is swallowing. And the thing that shocks him and then shocks the country is these very healthy young men start getting really sick.
Yeah, this is a big part of how he makes the case to the American people. And these guys, these Poison Squad guys, they kind of become celebrities in and of themselves, right, Deborah?
That's right. There were minstrel shows. There were poems. They are front page news. You have the Washington Post sending a reporter to skulk around the agriculture department kitchen and try to dig up their backstories. Actually, the Post got so frustrated with the way Wiley tried to control the information, they made up stories about the Poison Squad, and that added to their legend. And these guys in their way, I mean, they're young. They did not know how dangerous this food was. But they're heroes, right? They're going on this mission to do something for the good of the country. They ought to be remembered, and as everyone in the story ought to be remembered.
And John, apart from Deborah, who plays a big role in the documentary, you feature some very prominent modern-day food science scholars and activists, Mark Bittman, Eric Schlosser, Marion Nestle, Mark Karlansky, others. They all talk very passionately about this work. I'll admit, until Deborah's work, I hadn't heard of Harvey Wiley. Did you get a sense from her and all these other people that he was really this pivotal figure in our food history?
Well, absolutely. You know, and there are, you know, as Deborah was talking about his process, you know, there were flaws in his study. This wasn't a perfect study. It's one of the earliest of that type of study. But what he did was he raised an incredible level of awareness. He was the generator. He was the engine behind this movement. And what he did, though, he made a huge tent. He brought in women for the women's suffrage movement. He had hundreds of thousands of women writing letters. Even though they couldn't vote, they were an incredibly powerful voice and group in helping shape this. Fanny Farmer got involved, you know, who had an incredible reach through her cookbooks. So we have to credit Wiley with creating the momentum for this, but it's a whole host of people, including Upton Sinclair, you know, who's, I like to say that Wiley had taken the ball to the goal line, and Upton Sinclair sort of took it into the end zone with the publishing of The Jungle, which showed just how bad the situation was in the meatpacking plants. So he was the force behind it all, but it really was a movement, and it's incredible to look at, incredible to remember how important the progressive era was, you know, even bringing Roosevelt online, who was a little bit late to the game on food.
Deborah, I want to wrap up kind of back in the pre-Harvey Wiley era. Sometimes we think these days like, oh, back in the good old days, there was some kind of golden age of food. This clearly wasn't it. I think you say in the documentary at some point, basically everybody had stomach trouble all the time in the United States, given the food they were eating.
And that was a big shock to me because I had kind of bought in that old myth of the, you know, happy, pink-cheeked, healthy American eating nothing but wonderful food in the 19th century. The 19th century is actually known to medical historians as the century of the great American stomachache. And there are estimates that just your daily diet, just the food you ate and the drink you drank, was one of the top 10 causes of death in the 19th century. So we are very lucky to live on the other side of, as John describes it rightly, this Wiley-led revolution. And and to live in an era where we do have food safety standards, we are very lucky.
It's a good place to leave it and then watch the documentary. Deborah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you again for having me on.
And John, thanks for sharing this with us.
Thanks so much. It was a pleasure.
Deborah Blum is the author of The Poison Squad and director of the Night Science Journalism Program at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And John Maggio is the award-winning writer, director, and producer of The Poison Squad for American Experience that premieres tonight at 8 on both PBS Wisconsin and on Milwaukee PBS.